Christmas memories of baking and sharing stories with your family. That's depicted in the Jaclet from Focus on the Family titled Family Traditions. This story in paint by artist Morgan Weisling, a portrait of a lively family kitchen scene, will find a special place in your home and heart. Find out how to get a signed version of this special edition print at focusonthefamily.com/family traditions. That's focusonthefamily.com/family traditions. You told your spouse something, and you thought you made your point pretty clear, but a day or two later, you find out they are really upset because it turns out that they thought you meant something completely different than what you thought you expressed. Now, this happens to me almost every day. It's sort of like I say one thing, and Dina hears another, and sometimes it's humorous. It's sort of like, what? I thought I said I was coming home at 5. No, I heard you say that you weren't going to come home until 5 tomorrow. I mean, it's just something crazy like that, right?
We want to know, what are you doing for 24 hours?
How did I say A and you heard B, or vice versa?
Yeah.
You said we're having tacos for dinner, and so I had Mexican for lunch, and now we're having tacos for dinner. I don't get it. What did I miss? So you can have fun with this, or it can be a real tension point in the relationship. So if you're not smiling so much about it, listen in today. I'm John Fuller, along with Greg and Aaron Smalley. They're in charge of our marriage team. And Jim Daly and I had a great conversation with Jean Daly at the table as well, Jim's wife. We spoke with Guy and Amber Leah. And both the Dalys and the Leahs shared, the Fullers did not because Dina was not here, some rather humorous stories about misunderstanding each other. Let's listen in.
And Amber, I can relate to this next trigger. Actually, I can relate to all the triggers, frankly.
Oh, we're signing off. Thank you for joining Focus on the Family.
But in your book, you've mentioned that you've had a struggle with an intimacy idol in your relationship because you didn't feel loved. Tell us about that.
Yes, I had very many preconceived notions and expectations about what our marriage was supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And for us, I thought it was going to be a lot of security financially, white picket fence, Guy will go to work. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and work from home on occasion. And the Lord, you know, he's got all his plans for us are good, and they work together for good. But in those early years, I didn't think much of the plans that Guy was making for our family were good. And so I had this idol of, you know, closeness and intimacy, that he was going to do things my way. We were going to be on the same page. And when that didn't happen, it caused me to become really bitter. And so no matter what Guy would say or do, he couldn't get it right.
Right.
And that is a really dangerous place to be. And it's a painful place to be.
Well, and it sets up conflict, obviously. Jean, I just, you know, for people to understand your connection with this, what were you feeling? And I think it's rooted in expectations. That's
Absolutely.
What you started with.
Absolutely. That we have unrealistic expectations. And I would say, you know, maybe the greatest thing that I've learned through marriage is that your spouse cannot read your mind. And I can remember being hurt that Jim couldn't read my mind. He didn't know everything that I expected. And if I had to tell him what I was expecting, that made me angry. And until I recognized that is so unfair. Only Jesus, only God can read our minds.
And I am not God.
Right.
I know that every day.
It's okay, and you should sit down with your spouse and during a season and say, okay, this is really what my expectations are for my birthday or for when you come home for work, or these are my expectations for when I come home for work, and how can we get there?
The birthday one's funny. You should bring that up, because there was one birthday where Jean said to me, I just, you know, I'm not sure you can tell us all the motivation behind this, but said, you know, I really don't want anything for my birthday. I'm good this year, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Very crisp, bright attitude. I thought, oh, wow, take some
selfless.
Pressure. So birthday comes, and, you know, we have dinner, and the next day I could tell she's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what's the matter? You didn't even get me a card for my birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and
well, I thought you said what I heard
I
was
heard
you didn't
want different than you said. Apparently,
I mean, anything is like a gift. It's a card. It's anything.
Right.
But that wasn't quite it.
No, and I still
swing
I remember,
and a miss.
I remember where we were when I said it.
Wow.
What,
yeah.
And what
have
I meant
ever said, I'm
was
sorry?
What I meant.
I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, you have. What I meant was I didn't want Jim to buy me a gift.
Yeah.
I didn't want Jim and the boys. But that didn't mean I didn't want homemade cards from the boys, you know, that I wanted a cake, I wanted, you know, dinner.
Yeah.
She wasn't fully letting you off the hook.
What she didn't realize is she was actually giving the boys and I a gift.
Yeah,
a
right?
day off of birthdays.
Yeah.
We thought, wow, that is so kind of mom.
But
how
after
selfless.
That, I will say, I mean, truly, after that, I was able to say to Jim, okay, these are my expectations for my birthday.
Right.
It was, I want,
you work it
I
out.
Want, can you
necessity.
Work with the boys to make a handwritten cards?
And, now, you guys had this with Christmas, right? Your
we
first
did.
Or second Christmas?
Yes,
you had
our
a
first
stocking
Christmas.
Battle?
Right. I mean, we were so excited we were going to do stockings. You say it, Guy.
Yeah, I was
you did it.
You did
I was
it.
So excited when she said she wanted to do stockings. I was really excited that was going to be a tradition in our family because that was something that was a tradition that my family had. The night before Christmas, we would always get together and open the stockings, and it was so much fun. But our stockings would be filled with gag gifts and little funny things and just crazy stuff. And we'd do even a white elephant thing where you'd end up sending the bad gift around. And it was so much fun. Amber's stocking, for me, was filled with cologne and movie tickets and all this wonderful, you know, oils and different fun things. And it was...
Yes,
boy, we
I pulled
were
out
so...
a red feather boa, and I was pretty sure that pulling that red feather boa out of my Christmas stocking that we weren't going to make it to Christmas
the
number
beginning
two.
Of the end.
Because, I mean, I had been so thoughtful, all these favorite things in his stocking, valuable gifts, and I had just gag gift after gag gift, and I just thought, wow, we are really living in two different planets here.
All right, well, you heard from Jim and Jean Daly and Guy and Amber Leah. You didn't hear from Dina. She thought it was next time that she was supposed to join us. She totally missed what I said. Or
she's
I said
eating tacos probably somewhere.
No, she was just busy and couldn't come in. Plus, we heard some great stories there. Now, Aaron, it's pretty common for couples to figure out a way to work through those circumstances. How do I kind of laugh my way through the misunderstanding and really get to the heart to better understand what my spouse was saying and what this is all about?
It's so funny because so often couples are shocked that they're miscommunicating and they think that this is so rare. The truth is 80% of communication is miscommunication. So
are you saying that 20% of the people that heard you just now
are really understanding what I'm saying? So why are we doing what we're doing?
Just point after point. Repeat it. Yeah.
But I will often say, well, just accept that 80% of the time, your spouse is not going to understand what you're saying.
Oh, wow.
So it's so important to make sure that you're clarifying that. And what we will do is we start drawing these negative conclusions about what was really being said. And so it's slowing it down enough to say, you know what, help me understand. What did you mean? This is what I heard you say? Is that what you meant? And I know this happens to Greg and I all the time. And
well,
we just laugh.
Yesterday, Erin asked me to take her car in. Its service light is on.
Yeah.
And so I was like, sure. So I was going to take it to a nearby place. So it's like, I mean, I can walk to it and walk back.
Yeah.
And so I was about to take that in, you know, pay whatever. And I asked her something. She's like, whoa, no, that's got to go down to the dealership, which is way far south of where
but
we live.
But it's free.
But it's free.
So I was assuming he was thinking.
So you can take it to the dealership way down south and still walk home.
Right.
Good luck.
I better start now, so I'll be back.
Well, it's good, though, that you catch each other in those moments, right? I mean, that's a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I can remember Garrison, our son, when he was in high school, texted me. I was at Costco, and he texted me, hey, can you get me mozzarella sticks? And I was like, sure, wow. And I started having this whole thought, he must be really going on a health kick. You know, he wants to eat mozzarella cheese sticks. So in my mind, I went to and got the ones that are in a package,
yes, the
like string cheese.
you would give a kid, yeah.
He was thinking, like, the ones you put in the oven that are breaded.
That are fried.
You dip them in sauce.
Delicious.
You don't put those in your pocket very easily.
So I came home with, like, I had, like, this ultra-huge pack of mozzarella sticks. And he's like, what are these? I'm like, you said you wanted cheese sticks. And he's like, no, I wanted the good ones.
The deep-fried ones.
Yeah. And so it's just things like that happen all the time. And so it's recognizing more than likely we're going to be miscommunicating than really hearing and understanding what the other person is saying. So take the time when you get that ping of like, I don't think he's getting me, just
or
to
I'm
step
offended
back
by what you just said.
Yeah.
And clarify, this is what I meant.
Now,
is that what you heard?
My usual response could be one of two things. One, I can say, I can take umbrage, kind of what you were talking about, Greg. I take that personally, that you did not understand what I was saying. It was so clear. I couldn't have made it any clearer.
Right.
So I get a little upset. Or I blow it off and I'm funny about it, except Dina's not thinking this is funny because I misunderstood or she misunderstood and what's wrong. So choosing the timing of being funny is pretty important. We have a lot of things. You and the audience won't see this, but there was a time when I asked Dina about, well, where was that? And she nods her head kind of to the left. It was over there. And I'm turning around saying, well, there are like 45 million cars in the parking lot. So which car over that way were you talking about? Can you be more specific? So now if I want to have fun and I try to make her laugh every day, I'll just say, you know, over there. I'll nod my head and she's like, she rolls her eyes like, brother.
We get it.
So it's funny, but it wasn't funny at the moment.
Yeah. And I just think at the end of the day, let's give each other the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Understand, like Aaron said, most of the time we probably are miscommunicating. And then just ask to clarify that. I even will say to Aaron, okay, so wait, what did you just hear me say? And so we can even offer that to really try to clarify what was really intended, the message that was intended.
I had a couple recently come in and the wife said, what I've learned this week is I've got to be specific when I communicate with him. And I was like, oh, really? You know, what went on? And well, come to find out, she went and quit her job and thought that she had communicated to him that's what she was doing. And he was like, what did you do? You went and quit your job? You never even talked to me about it. Well, apparently she had been talking to him about it, but she was looking for like affirmation. And so she was kind of showing up as a pleaser and him and Han around what was really going on. And she thought she had communicated, I'm quitting my job.
Oh my.
And so you can imagine what erupted there. But she said, I just see I need to be very direct when I say I'm doing something just to communicate that.
Well, that is some good stuff. And I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. I mean, we are three imperfect people representing two imperfect marriages here, Dean and me and Greg and Aaron. And we heard earlier from Jim and Jean and Guy and Amber. And we just want to encourage you that there's no perfect, but you can press on. And it's helpful if you can laugh. So Amber and Guy have written a wonderful book called Marriage Triggers. It's available on our website, and we're going to link over to it. We would ask for a generous donation, either a monthly pledge or a one-time gift to the Ministry of Focus on the Family. If you're in a good spot and can help us out, that just multiplies the Ministry of Focus on the Family, literally, to couples around the world. We've got resources. We produce content. We do events. We've got these podcasts and more, and it's all to help you be a strong couple because that speaks to the world, and that's got generational impact, positive impact for your kids and others. So donate, if you can, do ministry through Focus on the Family, and we'll send that book, Marriage Triggers, to you. If you haven't yet taken our free marriage assessment, I think over a million now have taken that. I highly recommend you do it. It's on our website. And it's very quick. It gives you some insights about what's working in your relationship and what might need to be addressed. And the link is in the show notes for that. And then finally, this is just a free public service announcement. Don't do what Jim did in that clip. If your wife says, I don't want anything on my birthday, do something, okay?
That's don't just fall for that.
Just saying, okay?
Well, that's the best thing you said the whole time. That's perfect.
We're going to hear more from Amber and Guy about triggers next time. For now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and this has been the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
When a woman discovers her husband's struggle with pornography, she needs a practical plan. The latest book from Focus on the Family, Aftershock, by professional counselor Joanne Condi, will help you through the 7 steps of self-care, and you'll learn how to deal with the emotions involved in the discovery of your husband's addiction. Let Joanne Condi's timeless wisdom give you hope even while you're in your own season of Aftershock. Learn more about Aftershock at focusonthefamily.com/store.